On August 3rd, 1492, Christopher Columbus and his three ships set sail in what would inevitably become one of the most famous voyages of all time. On the same date, more than 500 years later, eight men would join a different, yet elite group of voyagers. This elite group is often referred to as simply Gold Jackets. Just as Christopher Columbus and his crew helped Europeans understand there was a whole new world out there, these eight Hall of Famers helped spread excellence everywhere, and it all starts with discovering a brand new bronzed bust.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. Great Scott.
This time as we step off the DeLorean, the date is August 3rd, 1492, and we're in the Spanish port of Palos to witness Christopher Columbus and his three ships set off to see if they could find a western sea route to get at China, India, and the fabled gold spice islands of Asia. Now, this might possibly be the furthest back we've ever gone in the DeLorean on this podcast. But fret you not, because more than 500 years later, we're going to have something of significance similar to these three ships that set sail off of the Port of Palos: the Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the Nina. Now, I know I'm not probably pronouncing those to their true native tongue, but they would take a plunge. This plunge would be to find, like I said, China, India, these all fabled gold and spice islands of India, of Asia. Huh? But they didn't know what they were going to find. They ended up finding a new land, similar to what our heroes on August 3rd, flashing more than 500 years later of 2019 in Canton, Ohio. They were about to head out on a voyage. Even though they had idea of where they were going to go, they really don't know what's going to be in store for them at the end of the tunnel. This happened to be just a few weeks ago. Eight gridiron legends were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In order of induction, they went as such. First was Gil Brandt, then Johnny Robinson, Kevin Mawai, Pat Bowlen, Ty Law, Ed Reed, Champ Bailey, and finally, rounding out the bunch with Tony Gonzalez. Now, they all had messages about, you know, how they got to where they were in their careers, the challenges they overcame, and also giving friends and fans and family members a particular message of something that they wanted everyone to think about. And of course, these things are always emotional. Most of the time, if not all the time, there's at least one teardrop in the Hall of Fame inductee when they're giving that speech. But this episode brings together the lore of both voyages, because Christopher Columbus and his voyage lived throughout time because there were stories that were told. People had hope from these stories. They thought about the legendary Christopher Columbus. They even have songs, you know, Sailing in the Ocean Blue in 1492 and all those other kind of rhymes and such. But what happened, like I said, these were stories of mythical proportions, even though, yes, it was a very big deal. The stories would live on throughout time. The same thing can be said about the NFL. The fans of the NFL that create the stories, even though it's the giants of the gridiron, or the coaches of the gridiron, or even the administrators that are behind the scenes giving us the chance to be able to have these players put together in a team, just like Gil Brandt did, to have the America's team in the long run. But again, going back, ultimately, the stories come from the fans, from fans telling other fans, I was at the, you know, supermarket when I heard about the time when John Elway had the helicopter spin, or, you know, I was really bumming out because I didn't get to see it. Or it was even the greater ones. I was at the field with my son and we were able to experience going to the Super Bowl for the first time, and all these other kinds of stories. Again, it's the story. It's the fans' experience that makes the NFL what it is today, America's favorite sport. And in this episode, we get to hear many different stories of what fans at the Hall of Fame weekend, they told me it was their favorite football moment of all time. And you're going to go ahead and hear all of these. Also, we have many of them gave me, well, let's just say this. I asked them the question, Well, what are you going to do if I gave you the keys to my DeLorean? You're taking that baby up to 88 miles an hour and you're going back in time. What football game are you going to? What football moment? What NFL experience do you want to have or even have with your children? Now, there's a caveat. You cannot change the outcome. But it's interesting to hear. Where would people go? Of course, there's a lot of consistency because you have a lot of fans from Denver, Kansas City, and all these other kinds of teams that were their players inducted to the Hall of Fame this year. But I want to ask you the same question. In fact, we'll talk about it later, so you can go ahead and send it on in to me. But like I said, these are all live at Hall of Fame weekend. And again, next year, now they're going to have a super party, something that's going to be crazy. They're going to celebrate the 100th birthday on September 17th, 2020. So I think you should make it a point to get to Canton, Ohio and go ahead and celebrate these new 20 Hall of Famers that will be inducted next year. But let's get to this year. These stories, now there's going to be interviews, like I said, two different. Now it's going to go back to back. I'm not going to talk in the middle like I have in the past. We're just going to go from one story to the next. So it may seem a little bit transitionless of a problem, but hey, let's just get here with the interest of time so you can hear the favorite football moments from fans that were actually there for the 2019 Hall of Fame enshrinement weekend. And there's going to be all from the middle at the beginning, a guy talking about how this was a religion for him. I had to stop him. He was the first one I stopped this time around. And at the end, you're going to hear a story and tears. There's true tears from this guy. He broke down a little bit. He had to wait. He couldn't talk. And at the last story, you'll be able to hear that one. And it tells us why fans are so passionate about the NFL. And I know you're passionate about the NFL as well. That's why you're listening to this show. And if you want to share your favorite football moment to be played on the show for everyone else to hear, well, you can go to the show notes for your podcast player or head to myfootballmoment.com. Again, that's myfootballmoment.com. Also, while you're at it, I ask that you please subscribe for free to this show by mashing that little subscribe button on your podcast player of choice. That way you get the hottest, freshest out-the-press episodes, well, each and every week. But let's get into this episode. Like I said, starting with the first one that I interviewed over the weekend. I had to stop this guy because when I was walking, like I said, I'm walking through, it's right next to where they have all the bus, you know, the hall of bus. And I heard this guy go, well, this is like a religion to me. So I'm like, yep, that's the first guy I'm interviewing. And his name is Ron Wissman. So let's take it away, Ron. All right, so I have Ron Wissman here, and I'm walking by, and I hear this dude tell me that this is like a religion to him. So I had to ask him, what is your favorite moments in the NFL history?
Oh, man. I started going to NFL games. My dad was a season ticket holder in 1966 for the Denver Broncos. So I was 5 years old at the time. And just my dad was such a devoted Bronco fan and football fan that I just developed a love for the game. And then I idolized these men here in the hall. The first time I came here, this is my fourth trip to Canton. I walked in here and tears started running down my eyes because here are my idols staring back at me and looking at me.
I do have one question. It's a little bit different. Every episode I ask my guest, I'm going to give you the keys to my DeLorean. You're going back anywhere in history. If you could pick one moment, you can go back. It doesn't have to be in your lifetime, but you can't change the outcome. What would it be?
Oh, man, there are so many. It would have to be probably the first Super Bowl of the Broncos in 1997 with John Elway's helicopter flip into the end zone. And that game, my dad had just passed away the year before, and he'd never got to see the Broncos win a Super Bowl. And I cried for hours after that win. So I'd have to go back then.
Dylan Wissman, and Ron's my dad. Probably my favorite moment was the playoff game against the Steelers when Tim Tebow threw the 80-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas in the building, the whole stadium just erupting. That was really, really special.
How about if you took the keys of my DeLorean at any moment in history, where are you taking it to?
I might steal a story from my dad where I believe it was 77, the Broncos won, and the crowd rushed the field. And the way he tells it, Grandpa pulled him back and didn't let him go on the field. And I would make sure we got onto that field.
All right, so he is going to change the outcome, but I'll allow it.
My name is Alan Hedge. One of my greatest moments was Super Bowl 32. Obviously, when John Elway ran towards the end zone and did the helicopter, which was extremely scary at the moment, but then afterwards, not so much. I would say the memory that I have the most out of all the years that I followed Elway was his retirement speech. I was sitting on the edge of the couch, basically my elbows on my knees, basically in a praying position. And he stepped up to the podium and said, "I'm not retiring from the NFL." And I jumped up and started cheering. And he said, "I'm graduating from the NFL." And I dropped to my knees and bawled like a baby. Honestly, I would probably say here. I would want to be here to see Elway be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing that I didn't get to do, and this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we spent over $1,000 each to come up here this weekend. I got within, like, 6 feet of him at the game. He was signing autographs. He stopped two people in front of me and was like, "All right, guys, that's enough," and walked off. I just stood there, like, shaking. I was so nervous. He was wearing white pants, and "I love you, John, but not even you can pull those off."
Nice. My first name's Ben. Last name's Bromont. I'll share with you my favorite moment that I was there to see live. Was probably in 2011 against San Diego. When we have, like, we didn't make the playoffs for years and years and years and years. And then to see, like, to go from 0-16, you know, a few years prior, and then years later, you know, going, making the playoffs the feeling in that stadium and the energy that was in that stadium against San Diego, it was amazing. So,
do you remember a specific play from that stuck out in your mind?
You know, it's weird to say that because the one thing I do remember is San Diego kicking it onside at half to come out of into the second half. That's for some reason that's what. But to end the honestly though, the when at the very end of the game, when I forgot who it was, but he intercepted the ball and it put it in as a wrap. You know, we'd go into the playoffs and then 2 years prior we won like two games. You know, it was right, yeah. It was amazing. You know, it was an amazing feeling. So 1991 when we beat Dallas. So it's got to be. I mean, I was really young at that time. So, of course, I wanted to see it for myself live and being in my late 20s now. So it's got to be 1991 against Dallas. You know, the NFC champ or the NFC, what is the NFC playoff game, the divisional playoff game at home in the Silverdome. My uncle used to take, when I was really young, my uncle used to take us to training camp when Barry Sanders was still on the team. And after the practice had ended, we were sitting there watching, and Barry, everybody was walking to the locker room with about to go get undressed and whatnot. And Barry was still out there running sprints after practice, all by himself, just running sprint after sprint after sprint for probably another half hour, 40 minutes after the practice. And my uncle said, "That's how you become the greatest player ever. You keep at it and you do more than what everyone else is doing, you know." So that's probably one of my favorites too. So
this is the Bronco Queen, Bookie Louise. It was when we recovered a Cam Newton fumble caused by Von Miller in Super Bowl 50, and we knew we had it in the bag. I'd go there. It was so cool. I'd love to do that again.
Where are you sitting? What seat are you sitting in?
In Denver?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean if I go back?
Yeah, what ticket? Where do you want? Like, what kind of... Or do you have season tickets?
I have season tickets.
Really? Where at?
Yeah, I'm in the club section.
Nice.
At Mile High Stadium,
which
is where my old seats were. And when they built the new stadium, I had to move there.
Do you have any recollections of Champ Bailey, like a specific moment that you remember from him?
Just lots of really good interceptions. Oh, yeah. No, he's a favorite.
Cool.
And the best favorite moment is how gorgeous he is. How can a football player be that gorgeous? Love it.
Gregory Brown from Chicago. I remember when San Diego Chargers went into overtime and Winslow, he was hurt, but he kept playing. I can't remember that year, but he's in here. And then Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, with Mean Joe Green, Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, and Starwood.
So I have been recently researching and studying the history of the NFL. Do you have any suggestions for younger fans that watch football now to be able to understand what it was like back in, say, the 60s and 70s watching football?
Well, see, today's people, they like the game because of the quarterback throwing the ball. Okay, and that's not football. You know, I understand you want a lot of points on the board, but football is tackle and defense. That's why when you get ready to get to the playoffs, defense is so important because it's true, like what they said a long time ago, defense wins, you know, games. Okay, so from when the season starts to just before the playoff starts, you know, it's all about offense. But then the last two games before you, when you get to the playoffs, now everybody want to play defense. So it's really defense.
Do you have a favorite player growing up that really stuck out in your mind while you became a fan?
Not really. Maybe Madden, the coach, when he used to coach Oakland. I think that's when I first really started watching them. And then after Madden and Oakland, then I started watching everybody after that.
What was so different about Madden, why you liked him?
His teams, he coached his teams, and you can tell that his teams was listening. Pittsburgh and Denver, when Tebow threw the ball for a change. Because he can't throw. All of a sudden, he learned how to throw. So I would change that. And the one that I can't change, it was a great game. It would probably be one of Madden's playoff games. When he had, I think, Casper. When Oakland played San Diego Chargers. I think it was San Diego when Don Carroll was coach. Yeah. I would bring that game to today's, to the 20th century, so everybody else can learn how to play football.
My first name is Jack. My last name is Umloth. Now, when I did my radio show, it was actually Buffalo Jack. I've done it. I did the stories, and I started in Buffalo, and I actually have been down in the Carolinas. I was actually one of the first reporters for the Carolina Panthers, too.
Oh, really? And how did that go?
Well, Bill Polian went down there in 94 when they started the Panthers. So him and I had a connection, of course, with the Buffalo Bills, so I just hooked up with them right away.
Oh, nice. And so you spoke of the AFL, remembering all that.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, I can remember it as a four-year-old child going to the games. And the funny thing is, those old stadiums, you'd laugh, but you had to watch out for the pillars. Every fourth seat, there was a pillar. And I just had 4 years ago, I had a cool time with Len Dawson. The NFL had a fan fest in Cleveland. I got to talk to him, and we talked for 20 minutes about the old AFL days. Because when you were in the old AFL, especially in Buffalo, you weren't any farther from me to that pillar to the players. When the players went into the locker room, they had to go up two stories. So it was really neat. That's why they'll say to this day, and I'll tell you as a fan, there's no better fan out in the market. We'll go in a 70-degree below zero wind chill factor and watch a game. The game we beat the Raiders, 51-3, was 70 below zero, and there was over 80,000 fans. And in the old days, of course, there was mud and, you know, Jack Kemp and all that. Jack Kemp was one of those guys that was he was an original scrambler. You know, you hear about these young guys today. He was actually one of the scramblers that started back in the 60s. Because with the NFL had the run game. The AFL was about the pass game. And Kemp was one of the big ones with the San Diego Chargers first. Then he comes up to Buffalo and wins in 64 and 65, two championships in a row. People forget that. That was our, you know, that was our Lombardi. Mm-hmm. It was cool. And just the players, some of them played both sides of the, you know, offense and defense. And some even played, you know, special teams. It was really cool.
Nice. And one thing that I do ask the fans of the show always is, it's a
Yeah. Back to the Future reference here. Yeah. Can you take you? I give you the keys to my DeLorean. You can go back at any point in NFL history, but you can't change the outcome. Where you're going?
Wow, it's tough. Like I said, I've been to so many games. It makes it really difficult. The greatest comeback, it'll still never, you know, the Bills against the Houston Oilers. You're down 35-3. We come back and win with backups. Mm-hmm. People forget that. Thurman Thomas was out hurt. Kelly was out hurt. Biscuit was out hurt. But we came back and won. And I'll tell you what, I said 25 years ago, Frank Wright was going to make a great coach, and look where he is today. Ralph Wilson, a lot of people don't understand, bailed out the AFL. The Jets were in a financial way, and so were the Oakland Raiders. He bailed them out. Not only that, here's how cool Ralph Wilson was. To this day, the greatest owner. After he passes away, they sell the franchise to, Pagula. They sell for $1.6 billion. Guess what they did with that money? They handed it back to the city of Buffalo. X amount of money goes back to the city of Buffalo to rehab that city. You tell me another person or another franchise. 5 years ago, three of my boys met me here from Buffalo, and I'm down in the Carolinas at that time. That was really cool because, you know, how many times can you have your kids as adults going somewhere with you? But here's the best thing is, Tally and Don Beebe and those guys are walking around. I'm walking up to him and I'm talking to him because I met him in that. My oldest of the three snaps his fingers and says, I remember them coming over the house. Really? He was like 2.5 years old at that time.
Wow. Yeah, that is definitely.
And I've got a picture of that. That was just really cool.
That's what they call football is family, right?
Exactly.
Yes, my name is Jeremy Shears. My favorite football moment of all time was after losing to the Dallas Cowboys 2 years in the NFC title game, we finally beat them in 94 to make it to the Super Bowl. The end of the 94 season, it'll be beginning of 95, the Super Bowl against the Chargers.
And what are you going to do?
We're going to win that game.
Nice.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm a Browns fan, so I don't know.
Your favorite football moment is every year at the beginning of the draft, right? Because I'm a Lions fan, so I can relate. So,
yeah, absolutely. My name is Joe Murphy. I'm not going to go with the drive because that's overdone. So I'm going to go with Tim Tebow throwing a slant pass to Demaryius Thomas against the Pittsburgh Steelers for a playoff win.
And were you there at the moment, or did you watch it on TV?
I watched it on TV. Can't change the outcome. I'd have to be Super Bowl III when the Jets won against the Colts.
Nice. What would you do?
What I do? I don't know. I would just watch it.
Drink
it. Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Kim Lackner. All right, so I think it was the Brian Hoyer year. It was 2014. The Browns, I believe, you look in the record book, the Browns own the record for largest deficit that road team has overcome and come back to win. It was against Tennessee. They were down by like 28 points at halftime, and they came back and won. But that was a really cool moment. Probably back whenever they played football without the face masks.
Michael Brown, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Went to watch Kerryon Johnson hit 100 yards in a game.
And were you there?
Yeah.
Awesome. And do you remember the last time that the Lions had a 100-yard rusher before Kerryon Johnson?
2013?
Yeah, I know. I was like
somewhere back then
in Texas roaming around not knowing what was going on because it was a long time.
Yeah. I'd like to see the Joe Namath game. Won the Super Bowl. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's a very common one that I get.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Sure. My name is Mike Asa, MikeAssa. I'm from Kingston, New York. My favorite football memory is from the 2002-2003 season. My dad and I had season tickets for a couple of seasons, and this is back in the day where you had to send in your playoff money, even if you had no hopes, and then they would eventually send it back to you once you didn't make the playoffs. So at 2-5, I believe the Jets were, we decided not to send in our playoff money, just 2-5, not a high likelihood of making the playoffs. Lo and behold, we wind up making the playoffs. I wind up going home from the game on a Sunday, sleeping outside of Ticketmaster to buy tickets for the next week for the home playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts, Peyton Manning's second season, I believe. We get tickets, we get in the stadium, and we never sit down. 41-0, just destroy them. It was just awesome home playoff game. It's what you live for. It's what you become a fan for. And really, ever since, never missed watching a game, never missed, you know, just being part of the game. And it's just one of those great memories, great seasons, great turnarounds. It's what you live for. So that's my favorite NFL Jets favorite story.
That's fine. My name is Mike Sharp, and I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. Probably the Immaculate Reception back in 1972 for the Steelers when the ball bounced off, I believe it was Jack Tatum, and Franco Harris caught the ball and ran in for the touchdown and won the playoff game.
Were you able to be at that game, or did you?
I saw it on TV. I can't think of a specific time or game, but I'd like to go back and see when they were playing in the 50s, because it was so much different than it was later on. Just any of those games back then.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good time too. Maybe go see Johnny Unitas or something like that. That'd be real cool.
Or anything else for me?
No, that's about it.
Maybe a Go Steelers or something?
Go Steelers.
Yes, you sure can. My name is Steve Kabza. That's K-A-B-Z-A. Well, my favorite moment is our first Super Bowl win. The helicopter. John Elway running in for that. Almost the score, but that's my favorite moment. Best thing I can remember to that day.
So explain to me, you watching that game, how did you feel? What did you do?
Screamed, yelled, lit off fireworks, honked the horn, did all types of cool things.
Nice. So if I were to give you the keys of my DeLorean, any moment in NFL history, where are you taking them to?
I'm going to go to the Drive. Love to go see that. Come out here, back to good old Ohio, just to see the Broncos kick the...
Nice, man. I appreciate it. Anything else you have for it?
No, sir.
All right, cool.
Go Broncos.
Oh, wait, no. Go ahead.
Go Broncos.
All right.
My name is Howie Asa. I'm from Haskell, New Jersey. Oh, my favorite football moment of all times. These all my buddies, they've heard this story 100 times, is when I met Joe Namath back in 1968. It was my first football game, and I went there with a photographer named Henry Wendell. He worked for the Amsterdam News, and I knew absolutely nothing about football. I went to the game with him, and when I say I knew nothing, I knew nothing. When the team was coming out, he said, "That's our quarterback." And I said, "With the fur coat?" And he says, "That's our quarterback." And he called Joe over, introduced me to him, and he had the biggest hands I could ever imagine. Joe started talking to me, and that day I became a Jet fan. Back in 1968, I've been a Jet fan ever since. It's my son. I made him a Jet fan from the day he was born. Joe taught me the game of football that day. His first series, he got out on the field, and he got on the center, and the little tough guy that I thought I was, I turned around and I said to Henry, I said, "Look, he's got his hands up, that other guy's behind." And he said, "No, he's on the center." I said, "What's that?" Joe came back and he explained it to me. three quarters through the game, he said to me, after he explained the game to me, which I learned very well that day, he says, I'm going to throw a touchdown for you. He then threw a touchdown for me, signed the ball, gave it to me. I kept that ball till my house burned down. It was fantastic. That was the greatest football time of my life.
Good story, man.
I love the Jets so much. My son has two daughters, and my granddaughters came home in Jets onesies. I will be a Jets fan forever. That's my story.
Well, there you have it. Talk about emotion. Did you hear that pause? Howie could not carry on with the story. I mean, he had his football, his legend, his hero. He had it autographed. The guy who got him into the game. And then he had to have this football burned down in a house. And of course, the house is more important. But I'm telling you, that story, that memory, that moment, man, you just can't replicate that. And I'm telling you, in Howie's voice and him having to stop because he has these tears through his eyes, he can't even get the words to come out because of how much passion he has for his team and for his league. That's what NFL fans think about the NFL. And that's why the NFL is in its 100th season this year. And I truly do hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of the Football History Dude, because I know I enjoyed listening and watching these people relive their dreams and their stories and their favorite moments. And I thought it was also cool to be able to think about where would you take the DeLorean back in time. And like I said, if you want to go ahead and share your favorite football moment or even let me know where you would take my DeLorean back in time in the history of the NFL, the 100 years, the 100 seasons, well, please go ahead and head over to myfootballmoment.com. Again, that's myfootballmoment.com. But shifting into next week, we're going to take this DeLorean to a different point in time. We're going to go here, this 100th season that's coming up. We're going to look at some of the records that might fall here during the 100th season in the NFL. There's some individual records and there's some team records. But we'll get into that next week. And for now, dudes, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.